good afternoon, good evening, and good night. Welcome back to the Shelter and Warning podcast, and thank you so much for joining us today. We are a Monster of the Week podcast, literally, so every episode we cover a new monster. Monsters can be both fact and fiction, and they're usually hiding in plain sight. The more you know about monsters, the better equipped you are to protect yourself if you ever have to face one. A quick note before we start, if anything I say is inaccurate, insensitive, offensive, or should be added to, contact me. I'm trying my best to find accurate information on my topics, but I welcome all corrections and would love to have an open dialogue on any larger issues. All social media handles and my email will be in the description, and I'll save them at the end of the episode, so stay tuned for that. Our topic today, the Mothman of West Virginia. Could the Mothman be real? How did a local cryptid capture global attention? And is it simply a trick of the night, a mass hallucination, or something far more sinister? The Mothman also has 14 books, a movie, and a museum in Point Pleasant, West Virginia. For some reason, the Mothman has captured the minds of people around the globe like a rat in a trap. On November 12, 1966, in Clendenin, West Virginia, a group of gravediggers on their way to the cemetery, which is almost too perfect of a beginning. If this was a movie, gravediggers at the cemetery would be the cliche opening scene. The gravediggers report seeing a brown human being moving rapidly in the trees above them. This is the first known and recorded account of the Mothman myth, and it's often forgotten in retellings of the Mothman story because of the difference between what the gravedigger saw and the descriptions given from the rest of the sighting. However, there are a couple of reasons why this should belong with other accounts of the Mothman. 1. Clendenin is only 75 miles from the location of the second sighting, Point Pleasant, West Virginia. Multiple sightings of the Mothman have confirmed that it moves much faster than any human could, with one report saying that it can go 100 miles an hour. Therefore, it wouldn't be a stretch to assume the Mothman was merely passing through. Maybe he had errands. We shouldn't judge. 2. This offers evidence that the Mothman isn't actually a cryptid or mythological creature, but something natural. If the Mothman was an animal, a sleep paralysis hallucination, or some case of mass hysteria, it makes sense that there are variations in what the creature looks like, and this could help explain what the Mothman actually is. Our next sighting, and what most accept as the first official sighting of the Mothman, happened on November 15, 1966, in Point Pleasant, West Virginia. Two couples had headed out to the World War II power plant at the edge of Point Pleasant to do some driving or drag racing. I found sources that said both. All four young people are in the car together when they see what will soon become known as the Mothman. In an interview with the Point Pleasant Register, a local paper, on the morning after they saw the creature, Steve Millett and Roger Scarberry, who were two of the four people at the plant that night, say that if they hadn't seen it themselves, they would not have believed in its existence. They described the creature as, quote, definitely not a flying saucer. They also said it was about 6 or 7 feet tall, having a wingspan of 10 feet and red eyes about 2 inches in diameter and 6 inches apart. The men were adamant they hadn't seen the monster in a TV show or movie, that they were fully sober, and that they weren't imagining anything. The sheriff's deputies and the city police of Point Pleasant were sent out to look for this creature, because it was 1966 and they had nothing better to do, but they obviously found nothing. There were plenty of other Mothman sightings called in around this time, but most of them were either obviously fake, obviously a hoax, or just scared people conjuring something extraordinary out of nothing. However, there is one sighting aside from that of the Scarberries and the Millettes that sticks out. Newell Partridge, who lived about 100 miles from Point Pleasant, was watching television late one night when the TV screen suddenly switched to an odd pattern. A loud whining sound that kept rising in pitch started up, and then stopped as suddenly as it had begun. Just then, Partridge's hound Bandit began to howl, and Newell went outside to see exactly what was going on. When Newell went outside, it was to see Bandit facing the barn on his property, which was about 150 feet from his house. Shining a flashlight in the direction of the barn to see if he could figure out the cause of the chaos, Newell saw the shine of two glowing red eyes, about the size of, quote, bicycle reflectors. Bandit, who was an experienced hunting dog and knew the area well, went off after the eyes, even though Newell believed they were too strange to belong to any kind of animal. Too scared to go back outside, but also too scared to sleep, Newell laid awake in bed with his gun by his side all night, waiting for Bandit to come back or for something else to happen. After 2 days, there was no sign of Bandit, and that evening, Newell read about the Mothman sightings in Point Pleasant. One part of Roger Scarberry's story scared him especially. Scarberry reported seeing a large dog laying on the side of the road as they drove into Point Pleasant, but as they drove back out, only a few minutes later, the body was gone, despite Scarberry and Millette getting out of the car to go hunt for it. For the next few months, there were hundreds of Mothman sightings, with people calling the police station and the newspaper to report seeing strange lights, odd shapes in the trees, and hearing noises that sounded like a generator starting up or a woman screaming when neither was nearby. Coupled with reports of UFO encounters and the men in black, who were supposed to be government agents dedicated to keeping UFO and alien stories a secret, Point Pleasant soon became a hub of supposed supernatural activity. Even when some reports were disproved, locals would sometimes admit they mistook a plane or a helicopter for a UFO, and in one funny coincidence, ufologist John Keel was called a man in black while searching for evidence of the extraterrestrial himself. Stories about what was happening in Point Pleasant continued to circulate. Reports of the Mothman slowly died down as people started to forget about the story, and aside from the odd teenage prank or tourist, life in Point Pleasant, West Virginia slowly returned to normal. People forgot about the Mothman, but he unfortunately didn't forget about them. The legend of the Mothman resurfaced over a year after the first sightings, when he was blamed for the collapse of a bridge that led to the deaths of 46 people. Connecting Point Pleasant and Canoga, Ohio, the Silver Bridge was only 40 years old when on December 15, 1967, the bridge collapsed during rush hour. 46 people were presumed dead, although only 44 bodies were found. At the time, this was almost entirely accredited to the Mothman, as the bridge was thought to be much too well constructed to collapse like that on its own. However, later analysis has revealed the bridge itself was constructed poorly and was carrying much more weight than it was supposed to be, which actually led to Congress passing National Bridge Inspection Standards. National Bridge Inspection Standards. Essentially, the bridge was built when Ford Model Ts were still the lightest and most common car around, and those were almost 3,000 pounds lighter than the average car in the 1960s. Furthermore, the engineers of the bridge hadn't been particularly creative, and there was very little redundancy, which meant that if one part failed, the whole bridge would go down. So while that was an incident that seemed like it was a Mothman's fault, it was, quite honestly, no one's fault, aside from a couple pieces of equipment that were just a little bit too small. Experts agree that unless construction workers managed to take apart the bridge piece by piece, they wouldn't have seen anything wrong. So that's one for natural causes, zero Mothman. This collapse was the second terrible thing to hit Point Pleasant in a single year, and ufologist John Keel, mentioned earlier, cemented the town's place as a hub of the paranormal in the release of his 1975 book, The Mothman Prophecies. While there hasn't been another large-scale sighting or catastrophe in Point Pleasant since then, the Mothman hasn't lost his grip on the minds of those who believe in the supernatural. Every person in the town of Point Pleasant has a story about how they've seen the Mothman, someone they know has seen him, or someone they know knows someone else who's definitely seen him. In 2016, for example, a man who had recently moved to the Point Pleasant area reported seeing a large figure jumping between trees. When pressed by local authorities and reporters, he claimed that he'd never even heard of the legend. I don't know if I believe him, but that's his story and he's sticking to it. The 2002 movie The Mothman Prophecies, based on the book, also added to the general air of mystery surrounding the Mothman. In it, Richard Gere is a reporter whose wife saw the Mothman right before she got into a car crash and then died from an unrelated brain tumor. 2 years later, he's sent to investigate odd sightings and mysteriously finds himself in the Point Pleasant area with no memory of how he got there. The film was a middling success, but it reinforced the idea that sightings of the Mothman were an omen of doom. According to some, the Mothman prophesied the Chernobyl nuclear disaster, a Mexican swine flu outbreak in 2009, and the Fukushima nuclear disaster in 2011. While belief in the Mothman has generally declined in recent years, there's still quite a bit of love for him, especially in West Virginia. Point Pleasant hosts the Mothman Museum and statue, complete with large wings and glowing red eyes. The museum is also an in-depth exploration of Mothman sightings and lore, and I highly recommend you ever check it out if you're in the area. It's very affordable, with tickets being $4.50 for adults, and they're operating at a limited capacity during the pandemic. The town of Point Pleasant also hosts a two-day-long annual Mothman Fair, with experts on cryptozoology and the paranormal, live performers, bus tours, and the general feel of a street fair. There are Mothman-themed games, food, and even a person in a Mothman costume that's pretty darn cool. Alright, let's wrap this episode up by discussing some of the theories. So here are some of the things that people could have seen or heard that later turned into the story of the Mothman. Let me level with you guys, though. I've done quite a bit of research into the Mothman, and the more I learn about him, the less I'm convinced he's real. So, without further ado, here are some things that could be the cause of the Mothman story and the explanations as to why. There are actually quite a few birds that could be the reason behind the Mothman. One plausible explanation is a sandhill crane, which was proposed by wildlife biologist Dr. Robert L. Smith from West Virginia University. The sandhill crane has a 5 to 7 foot wingspan, a red patch at the top in front of its heads, and an eerie call. Seriously, you can look up the noise these birds make on YouTube. It's like a chicken, but it's louder, more shrill, and it makes the hairs at the back of your neck stand up. I can totally see why that noise could have scared Point Pleasant residents. Hearing it late at night without a cell phone or flashlight would be absolutely terrifying. Hell, hearing it late at night with a cell phone and the lights on was still pretty scary. The sandhill crane's red face could also account for the reports of glowing red eyes, and while it's never been recorded in West Virginia, there have been unofficial reports. In fact, Dr. Smith believes that a single sandhill crane most likely got lost on its migration route and ended up in West Virginia. In 1966, reporter Ralph Turner printed an article with Smith's crane theory, and that somewhat cemented its place in Mothman lore. However, witnesses to the Mothman strongly disagree with this theory, as they say the Mothman had no neck, the sandhill crane has a very long one, was much bigger than the sandhill crane, and that the crane isn't able to fly nearly as fast as the Mothman can. Multiple eyewitnesses have expressed the opinion that if Dr. Smith managed to see the creature for himself, he would never in a million years think it was a crane. Another kind of bird that's thought to be the cause of the Mothman is the owl, specifically the barred owl. Owls were considered a likely suspect for the Mothman because of the similarities in their shape. They're both vaguely round creatures with wings. The variations in Mothman sightings, for example, this would explain why the first sighting and a few subsequent others have described the Mothman as brown, while others have described it as white, gray, or black, and most importantly, the eyeshine. Eyeshine is essentially how much a creature's eyes reflect light, and the barred owl has a really strong red eyeshine, which lends credence to the theory that it inspired the Mothman myth. Although it's much smaller than the Mothman, its eyes are massive and terrifying, and people are very good at creating a story when given a few details. Many kinds of owls, including horned owls and barn owls, live in or near Point Pleasant. Many kinds of owls, including horned owls and barn owls, live in or near Point Pleasant, so many skeptics fully believe in this theory, and eyewitnesses have a harder time disproving this idea than they do other theories. In fact, a man named Asa Henry shot and killed a snowy owl during the November of 1966. While only being about 2 feet tall, the bird classified as a giant owl because of its 5-foot wingspan, and Henry maintained his entire life that after he shot the bird, the Mothman sighting stopped. Owls are also responsible for other similar cryptid stories. In 1952, the Flatwoods Monster reportedly arrived in West Virginia on a flying saucer. However, as the Michigan Audubon Society concluded based on a paper written by skeptic Joe Nickel, it's almost 100% sure that the monster was an owl and that the flying saucer was a meteor. Several similar sightings in Cornwall, England in the 1970s led to the invention of a creature known as the Owl Man, which ended up being just an owl. Although cryptozoologists, who are people who study mythological creatures and cryptids, have theorized that there is an undiscovered giant owl species that lives on the east coast of the US and Britain, the path of least resistance leads us to believe that people most likely saw owls or other birds. They filled in the rest of the details to be scarier and more in line with how they felt during the experience. Other explanations could include people using a substance in some way and either exaggerating their experiences or experiencing visual hallucinations, people seeing helicopters or airplanes, or people just assuming their memories were worse and more dramatic than they actually are. It's not a bad thing that people tend to sensationalize experiences and memories. In fact, it's led to some pretty incredible stories. People are imaginative, and they certainly should be. That's far from a detractor. However, the Mothman story is a case study in how hysteria, fear-mongering, and other people's opinions can influence how we talk about and remember our experiences. Memories and opinions are very easy to manipulate, and there are dozens of studies to support the fact that people can have their memories drastically altered, even though we're often very confident in the fact that our memories are flawless. For example, a person can be convinced they committed a crime they aren't actually guilty of in only 3 hours. We're living in a time period where opinions are often being pushed at you in order to get you to spend money, generate clicks, share, turn off your ad blocker, whatever. And that's basically unavoidable at this point. There are going to be stories like the Mothman that circulate. Stories that have no factual basis, but they do have a strong emotional pull. By speaking about them or acknowledging them, you feel like you're part of a special in-group that's doing better than everyone else. This happened a lot with old funny Tumblr posts or tweets. It also happened with the idea that vaccines cause autism or QAnon. These stories can be harmless, but they can also threaten your physical health, your mental health, and your safety. Stay vigilant, fact check more often than not, and as the women at My Favorite Murder would say, if you find yourself in a cult, call your dad. Although there's no conclusive evidence for the existence of the Mothman, he hasn't been disproved either, and the existence of Point Pleasant's beloved yet horrifying cryptid mascot will continue to haunt us for years to come. I hope this episode of the Shelter and Warning podcast entertained and educated you. If it did, please consider leaving us a rating or review on iTunes. Everything helps. You can find the Shelter and Warning podcast at Shelter and Warn on Twitter, at TikTok, Instagram, and Tumblr at Shelter and Warning Podcast, or contact us through email at shelterandwarningpodcast@gmail.com. Full transcripts of our show, along with the list of all of our sources, are available in our Google Drive. Once again, if there are any corrections or additions that you would like to make, contact me and I'll do my best to address it. Thank you so much for listening, and good luck. You'll need it.